The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. Amen. Good morning. You know, often on a Sunday morning when the lector has finished the reading, and they say, "Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." And I think, what is the Spirit saying to the church? And what is the Spirit saying to me? I sure hope the sermon helps me know what the Spirit is saying to the church. So that's my purpose this morning. I want us to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church in these readings. And I will be using the translation from The Message by Eugene Peterson because it's my favorite and because it's more accessible. In Jeremiah, "I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God. And they will be my people. They will no longer go around setting up schools to teach each other about God. They will know me firsthand." Psalm 51. "What you are after is truth from the inside out. Heart-shattered lives, ready for love, don't for a moment escape God's notice." And finally, John. "Anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you will have it forever, real and eternal. Now, what is the Spirit saying to the church and to us? And what are Jeremiah, the psalmist, the author of Hebrews, and especially Jesus talking about today? They are talking about the reality that at some point in our lives, our agenda, our life plan, our best coping mechanisms, our set of life skills, our backup plan is not going to work for us. It will happen in a relationship, in our job, in our health, or in the health of someone we love. Our way of feeling in charge, in control, our way of knowing what to do, our tried and true ways of handling difficult problems just won't work. For example, in a relationship, either in our family or in a really close friendship, something happens and we no longer feel we can trust or rely on that person or on ourselves. Someone really hurts us. Someone lets us down, disappoints us to the place that it really jars us, jars our sense that we can trust our instincts, our sense that we can trust people, or our job. The profession that we have trained for and been so good at is no longer deemed necessary. It is being outsourced, cut back. And the new boss, we don't get along with. There will be a whole new way of operating in order to improve the bottom line. Our position is being eliminated. Or our health, or the health of someone close to us, is diminished by an injury, by a frightening diagnosis. These moments and others that we have known, when these crises happen, we are really thrown into a place where our agenda, our plan, our best coping mechanisms, our set of life skills, our fallback plan won't work. Our tried and true ways of handling difficult problems aren't helpful. That is what Jeremiah, the psalmist, and Jesus are talking about in our lessons this morning. Those moments, those life-changing moments in our lives when the way we have always done things, the way we have always coped, where holding on to life just as it is not going to work for us. If you are a human being, and we all are, this happens at some point in our life. And sometimes several times, it happens. It's nobody's fault. There is nothing wrong with us. It goes with the territory of being a human being. And it is so hard for us when it happens. It is so hard. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, because we genuinely do not know what to do. We are vulnerable. We are out of control. We are out of our depths, powerless, scared, alone, vulnerable.
When we're open to the possibility, God just might get our attention. Or we will try to do it our way again and again and again. This is an opportunity just for us to see if this Good Friday to Easter thing, this new death to new life thing, actually could work. Now I can hear the little voices in your minds running around saying, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Spring, God, we hope so. Earth comes back to life. We have bunny day, we have candy, we have baskets, we have egg hunts. Yes. And something brought you here this morning. Because heaven knows there are a lot of other things that we could be doing. Just maybe somewhere in you, in a barely conscious or not conscious to you in any way, you wonder what all the excitement is about with this Jesus dude. What's the choir singing about? What are those of us who get to preach talking about? What are we trying to show the children and the young people in our education programs? And what are we doing back there praying with folks for healing? It is profoundly at these times in our lives, at these nodal moments, when we don't have a game plan, when we do not know what to do, when our usual way of handling things does not work and will not work, that we have an opportunity to turn to our faith, to what the Spirit is saying to us this morning, what Jeremiah, the psalmist, and especially Jesus is talking about. This is when we have the opportunity to find out what else is possible. That's what all of the AA, all of the 12-step programs are talking about when they say, let go and let God. Or, nothing changes if nothing changes. It is what Renee Brown was talking about in her TED Talk that we heard a couple of weeks ago. Vulnerability. When we can admit our vulnerability, our fear, our not knowing what else to do, we can choose to give God a try. We can see what Ms. Holy Spirit has to offer. Just couldn't help myself. The same creative power that moves through Jesus, through Jeremiah, through the psalmist, will show us what else is possible for us if we can let go. If we can let go and let God. If we can keep breathing when we feel vulnerable and scared and don't know what to do. If we can let go of trying to make our life, our relationships, our job, even our health, work the way we want them to, and pay attention to the nudgings of the Holy Spirit, something new and surprising, and with God it is always surprising, and so much more alive than we were before, can break in and open in us. In my other vocation, I'm a psychotherapist. People come to my office when they are exactly in this place. Something has happened in a relationship. Something has happened in their job or vocation. Something has happened in their health, and their world is rocked, and all their usual ways of handling difficult situations are not working and they don't know what to do. Spirit has nudged them to reach for help, and they've landed in my office, or they've gone to talk to the clergy, they've gone to talk to their doctor. That's the hardest step for us to make, to reach for help, to admit to ourselves that we do not know what to do, and that doing what we have always done is not working, and to at least be willing to experiment with what else is possible. Until Easter, the lessons the church uses are all from John, and they are all about shining light in the darkness. The readings are to prepare us to recognize that to have our life, our real life, our God-given life, our abundant life, our life in relationship with others and God, we have to go through the darkness. Not around it, not avoid it, not ignore it, but go through it. Go through this present darkness of our vulnerability, our not knowing what to do, our game plan not working. Remember Jesus in Gethsemane, begging God to consider letting this cup of death and cross pass from him, and acknowledging that if that was the only way, that he was ready for that to be the way. It turns out, hard as it is, that that is the only way. And we can avoid it our whole lives and never really come into the abundant life for which Jesus came and which God offers to us. Or we can summon all our courage, reach for help, pray like crazy, and trust that God is with us and will guide us through and shed some light on our darkness. When we bring light into the darkness, into our inner darkness, into what we fear, what we can't control, we find what is true. That God is with us. That God can bring life out of death. And not only life, but abundant life. So with Jeremiah, who promises to write the law of God within our hearts so that we are God's people and know God firsthand. And the psalmist who, when our lives and our hearts are shattered and open to love, God is paying attention. And Jesus, who says if we hold on to life just as it is, we will destroy that life. But if we let it go, reckless in our love, we will have it forever, real and eternal. I invite all of us to walk with Jesus through Palm Sunday, through Good Friday, and see what aliveness comes from having the courage to go through our darkness into the light, into the resurrection, into new life. Amen.